28 minutes to 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, and Unfiltered with Penny Faree continues.
Hi, everyone. So we've got the Docker Finance team in the studio. They're quite a powerhouse with a solid skill set, and we look forward to hearing about our local municipality and the financial results and how it's doing. So I'm going to hand it over to Dion Viljoen, who's the co-chairman of DOCRA, and Brian Bertus, who's part of the executive team, and he's got a plethora of skills that goes back to municipal auditing. He's also a chartered accountant, so he is the right person to join the team to unpack the financials. So welcome, gentlemen.
Penny, thank you very much. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Good to see you again, and hi to you, to all the listeners. As you may know, the annual report, or the draft annual report, and the annual financial statements for the year 2020-21 has just been published, and there's a lot of financial stuff, you know, to talk about, but today we'd specifically like to talk to about the annual report and the annual financial statements, and I'll comment back to the municipality on that. It's a good 470-page document. I've gone through the annual report to find the 40 pages that are relevant and interesting, and Brian has gone through the annual financial statements in detail, and we've got some comments to make here, but we've also sent our comments to the municipality, as we always do.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to touch on the key some key points from the budget, what you felt were important to pull out and possibly highlight. The positives and the, you know, obviously the good and the bad.
Let me kick off with a few positives, and then I'm going to allow Brian to get into some of the details and whatever. On the positive side, I think the actual productivity or performance of the municipalities has increased from the year before. Off a very low base, the year before we were sitting at 47%, so you could say that the productivity of the municipality is 47%, which was shocking, but it's gone up to 68%. Over the last year, and remembering it was a COVID year. So that's a positive. Another positive is the second year running that basic service delivery is improved from 47% to 56%. And we believe that that is because of constant active citizenship and civic pressure, asking questions and getting involved. We also have a municipality that's collecting their debt very, very smartly. So they're collecting over 90% of whatever they bill, which is a misnomer in South Africa at the moment. I mean, not many municipalities are collecting that. I think the average is about 60%. So there is cash, there is reserves, there's a strong balance sheet. So from that area, I think that there are some positive things to note. But that's where it stops.
From there,
it goes on to some really concerning areas. Okay. So I'm going to ask Brian to kick off on that.
Just the key concerns, Brian, that you managed to pick up.
Yeah, so again, and my plethora of skills includes dancing and singing, Dave and Penny, you'd love to know. but again, while KDM has done a good collection drive in collection the high proportion of rates and electricity billed, as Diona says, that means that they've got the money in the bank, but again, haven't spent it on both capital and operational budget. So things like maintenance have lagged behind. Things like filling key vacancies have lagged behind. And the money's in the bank, fortunately, but it means that we've paid for services that we were expected to get but didn't get.
Yeah. How much money are we talking about? Just like a round ball figure.
So the surplus for 2021 was over 200 million rand, and that's on top of a surplus for the previous year and the previous year. So there's currently 900 million rand in the bank.
So 900 million is sitting in KDM's
bank account
earning good interest.
Well, not good interest. What do you get? 2.5% these days.
Oh, so. And tell me, these projects that they should have been doing and they aren't, you know, does that get rolled over? Now, what happens? Why is the money sitting there and it's not being spent? What is the Auditor General picking up?
So the Auditor General reports on the same things, you know, lack of spending against budget. In capital projects, yes, you would get projects that are multi-year projects that roll over from 1 year to the next. Some concerning things are things like a fire fleet. There's been a budget for a fire fleet in capital expenditure for the last 2 years, hasn't been spent and hadn't been spent at the end of December 2021 yet. So why did they budget for it if it wasn't necessary? Or is it necessary, but they just haven't got around to spending it?
And now building houses, that also falls under the big item, line items.
Well, KDM only acts as a agent for the national housing. I don't know what they call them, but they're just an implementing agent. There is some money in that KDM gets as a result of that by being, obviously they employ the staff to do that. But the real money spend is done by the national department. Yeah. We're just an agent.
And Brian, you know, you mentioned, Dion mentioned the vacancies. Do you think that's also contributing to the delivery services or lack thereof? Is the key skill sets are not in place to properly monitor budgets, make sure that the spend is going where it should be? Is that an issue?
I would say so. In any organization, if you don't have the right staff in the right places, the right things either not going to get done or not going to get done at all. So, yes, that is a concern. There's one ED position that has been vacant for well over a year. On the other side, though, I do see, reading the annual report and comparing it to the prior year's annual report, that there has been an increase of 100 persons in the employment of KDM. So I'm trying to get clarity on that, and that's one of the questions we'll ask at the impact meetings is that true? Is that accurate, firstly? And which sort of positions are being filled and why?
And now, I know Mark will be ignorant about certain issues, and I am a layman and I like to have things explained to me so the normal person in the street can understand it. So when the municipality says announces they got a clean, unqualified audit for the third year running, it means very little to me. Does that mean that they're getting an unqualified audit because they're just good at record keeping? Does it reflect a good governance in the municipality? You know, proper skill, you know, things have been put in place. The money has been spent where it should. What is the irregular expenditure? What does that tell you?
So in a nutshell, simply that the balance sheet balances, and if they said the assets exist, they do exist. They can agree them to a bank statement as a simple example, and all the liabilities that should be accounted for have been accounted for. Obviously, on the performance side, the income that they say they've collected has well been collected. It's in the bank, and the expenses they've paid have been properly authorized and paid. That said, it does come as unqualified with findings. So there are a number of findings, about five of them, that the municipality needs to attend to. Four of those have been repeat findings. There's one new one on fleet management. So, yes, it's clean, but that's only the financial side. On the performance audit side that Dion spoke about just now, the Auditor General touches on that audit. He doesn't dig into the depth of that. So hopefully the 67% that Dion spoke about is accurate and the increase and the improvement in the performance is accurate, but the Auditor General just touches on that. And that's
Penny,
a lot of what we've got.
I think the elephant in the room here is consequence management and performance management.
That's very much the elephant in the room.
That is our biggest problem at the municipality, is that there's a lot of talk about it, there's a lot of structures, but at the moment, MPAC is actually not functioning. They don't have a chairman. Internal audit, external audit, Auditor General have all highlighted the fact that there is lack of performance management, despite the fact that there is a whole system to be complied with. Over and above there, where there is performance management, there's no consequence management. And if you look at the new mayor and her statement of what she's looking forward to doing over the next 5 years, the very first item that they have said there is consequence management. So our municipality knows what their problem is. They're fully aware of it. They've got plans to address it. They're just not doing it. And that is where the pressure from ADOCRA and other civic organizations we need to focus on that. And Brian focuses on that a lot, to get them to become performance driven and to have real consequence management. That's a problem.
Yeah, I think the chickens are coming home to roost from the era of corruption, state capture and conservative economic management. And I do believe that active citizenship, that's promoting transparency with budgets and good governance and accountability, is the only thing that's going to end corruption. The corrupt will not end corruption. It's the civic organizations and movements who are going to play an active role in making sure there's good governance. And, you know, DOCRA is doing a good job, and there are good organizations in our region that are going to be on the ball and bringing these issues to light, and we will be highlighting them.
And we can't write about that. We can't send emails. We've got to be in their faces. So Brian attends his council meeting. I'm going to be at the council meeting tomorrow. We attend impact meetings. We attend elections of ward committees. You've got to be there in person and build up those relationships. Mm-hmm. And then you've got to understand the documents and the detail, because they respect that. Suddenly they're starting to get feedback. They're getting questions asked. They're getting suggestions. And that they haven't had before. And that is making a huge difference a huge influence on how things are going. But you can't sit and have keyboard warriors and thumb wars going on. They ignore that. It's about getting up and going and attending and being available and face-to-face.
Which is why it's so important for everyone to be an active member, certainly in terms of a card-carrying or a monetary contributing member of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. If you live or operate in this area, it's your civic duty to support the team that is completely voluntarily doing a rough, hard job in the trenches. And thank you guys for what you're doing.
I know, and it's the most difficult environment for civil society. But now, more than ever, it's a critical moment where its work has never been more important. So, you know, the corruption has to end, and only organized citizenship can do that. So thank you for coming to the show. We're going to continue monitoring the issues that are coming up and bringing to light anything that needs, public awareness.
Thanks, Penny.
And I think there we end the show for today. Penny Faree and Unfiltered will be back next Wednesday, just after the news at 9. If you didn't catch the whole show and would like to, it's available on Catch Up very shortly on our podcast platform, Radio Life and Style, Life and Style FM.
Thanks,
the time
everyone.
Now is 17 minutes to 10. Thanks, Penny.
Yeah.